Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Power Word Share number 38. There are some people who know on one level that they really shouldn't offend other people, but they do so anyhow. And what they'll do is they'll frequently make an offensive statement, but they'll make a disclaimer. I hope this won't offend you, but then they'll say something offensive. This is sort of how people say, Nishle Shabbos Garet, like I'm not going to talk about this on Shabbos, because I'm not supposed to, and then they'll start talking about something that they really shouldn't talk about on Shabbos. So this is sort of the Einos Devarim Nishtei Shabbos Garet. I hope I'm not offending anyone, but I hope I'm not offending you, but I feel I need to tell you this. The bottom line is it makes no difference what your disclaimer is. Your disclaimer cannot release you of a further responsibility of the words that you're going to say. If what is going to be said by you constitutes Einos Devarim, then it's Einos Devarim, even if what you don't want it to be Einos Devarim. So you could say all you want, I hope that this won't offend you, but the bottom line is if it's an offensive thing that does offend, you're over Einos Devarim, and that disclaimer won't help you get out of it. Or, like, I don't want to speak Lashon Hara against him, but, and then they start proceeding to speak Lashon Hara against him. And this is a common trick of the Yetzer Hara. He acknowledges you already learned the whole Sefer Chafetz Chaim, inside, outside. Now, I know Chafetz Chaim, technically, I really shouldn't be saying this, but, you know, so it's like sort of your frumatizing your way out of this. So the idea is you have to be sensitive when you're saying things, and a disclaimer like that will not absolve you, if indeed it's Einos Devarim. So that's the first lesson. Another idea to know is that when someone is not satisfied with another person, you usually use the word you. You, when you hear that statement on the, you know, in the beginning when you're talking to somebody and trying to criticize them, the word you will make that person feel anxious and defensive. They'll feel attacked. They'll feel distressed when they hear, you are wrong for doing this. You are inconsiderate for doing that. So that right away puts people on the defensive when it's used with the word you. An approach that makes it easier for people to listen to what you have to say and cause less distress is the I messages. In other words, you tell the other person your reaction to what he or she did without attacking them in any way. An example of it would be to change the you into an I. For example, I feel pain when someone says that to me. I suffer when someone fails to comply with any reasonable request that I really need their help with. With Shalom Bayis, the same idea. I felt alone when you walked out of the room and didn't acknowledge me. Instead of you ignored me. It's very different. I felt hurt when you said this thing instead of you attacked me. The I message is definitely easier to accept. It's more effective with most people. It makes people feel less defensive. But you have to really use it in a very respectful tone. So you can't just say, I, so you're saying the word I, so that's good, but you're saying, I feel upset when you act like a moron. So it started with the word I, so very nice, but then you basically belittled the person, you called them a moron. So that's when it doesn't work. I felt invalidated, you know, I felt hurt by the harsh words that were said to me by you. So you're not labeling the person a moron or a mean person, but you're just expressing your hurt about the situation. So think about situations when the I message would be more appropriate and practice it before saying it. And Shalom Bayis, this is a tremendous tool also because the you creates a certain defensiveness while the I is explaining just simply how you feel about it. And it makes the other person who is listening a lot less defensive about it and they're willing to listen more. Another thing that would cause someone to be feel bad or is basically you tell them point blank, I see that you are nervous. When you say to somebody, to an anxious person, I see that you are nervous, it usually can easily cause that person to become even more nervous. For example, someone is nervous before he is giving, or she, a public talk. This kind of remark may distract this person and cause them to make their delivery more poor than it would have been. You may say something like, I've heard you speak before, and you could do it, and you're doing a great job. Another way to help people feel calm is to start talking about situations when the person felt calm and serene in the past, or an imaginary situation where he would feel serene in the future, to visualize it. For example, I recall you telling me about your trip to the mountains with the beautiful lakes nearby. Remember how the sun was shining, the sky was blue and clear. Please describe it to me, and that'll calm down the person's nervousness by doing that. So that's an important concept also. Not to say I see you're nervous, because that usually makes the person feel even more anxious. Then there's icebreaker conversations. Some people ask questions or make superfluous statements to break the ice, even though the answer is obvious and you know, the statement was really a very powerful statement. For example, someone may be carrying a heavy load, another person may want to help carry it, and he may not be comfortable outright to say, let me help you. So instead of saying that, he asks, is that package heavy? You might be tempted to respond, of course it's heavy, you idiot. Or maybe you'll want to say, no, it's light as a feather, like sarcastically. But realize that the person who's asking you this question is just trying to break the ice. He's just trying to be friendly. And be aware of his true intentions will prevent you from replying with statements that would be like Nas Devarim. So I think an example would be like this, because we talk often in earlier shiurim and other shiurim about sometimes people don't know how to be sensitive when they're being Menachem Avel. That they don't know the right thing to say. So they say something sometimes very not, you know, off the mark, whatever it is. Now, if Avel realizes this, the Avel himself or herself realizes that this person's feeling awkward and that's why they're talking in an awkward way, the Avel, as a chesed, could actually calm the nerves of the person addressing them. Obviously, that's a pretty high level because the Avel right now is in tsar. They just lost a loved one. But that is really, I've seen it here and there by Nichum Avelim, how an Avel, despite what's going on around that Avel with the loss of a loved one that's very close to them, they nevertheless learn how to treat every person that comes to be Menachem Avel with a certain sensitivity, recognizing they're more nervous meeting the Avel than the Avel is by acknowledging them. The Avel recognizes how uncomfortable it is for some people who they haven't seen for a while to sit down and start breaking the ice by having conversations that you didn't have for a long time. Now, there's certain halachas about when to answer. Avel really better not to answer initially, but whatever the halachas are, and you ask a paisik how to go about it, but there's an opportunity for people. I mean, it shouldn't happen to anyone. People should... Mashiach should come already, and we shouldn't have any more concept of Avelis. But if and when it does occur, that there's a sensitivity, because there is an insensitivity. A lot of times there's a lack of awareness or nervousness that causes someone to say something that's very insensitive. But the Avel themselves would be able to learn how to direct it in a healthy, positive way. Bracha and Hatzlacha.